You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The Statute of Liberty. It's an old joke by Jay Leno that says the crime problem in New York is getting really serious. The other day, the Statue of Liberty had both hands up, so if you remember that joke. Liberty. If you look this word up, liberty, it's the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. So liberty is a big deal in this country. It also has the power or scope to act as one pleases. And it can also be a presumptuous remark or action. You take liberty to say certain things that maybe you wouldn't say otherwise. Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So, life must have been a big deal to be looking for. Liberty and the pursuit of happiness. So let me just go through these really quick, and then we'll go through some scripture. You're looking for life. Let me tell you something about life. There is no life without the life, and the life is Jesus. Amen. And you say, well, I'm looking for liberty. There's no liberty without the life, and he is Jesus. And you say, well, I'm pursuing happiness. There's no happiness without the life and the liberty that are Jesus. So you say, well, then how do I achieve this? And you can say whatever you want to say. You say, well, that's just your opinion. That's just a religious thing you believe. But that's not true. We can pursue life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. We can do all that. But I'm telling you, we'll read some scriptures today. You will never achieve what it is you really think you're after apart from Jesus. Now, if you go look at a little bit of history on the Statue of Liberty, it was dedicated in 1886. And just a cursory look at it, the statue is a figure of Libertas, a robed Roman liberty goddess. Now, you say, well, you're going to take this too far. Liberty was literally depicted as a goddess. So I guess you could pray to the goddess of liberty for liberty. But I'm going to tell you something about the goddess of liberty. She's not going to hear you. She cannot hear you. Fascinating thing also about this statue. In her right hand, obviously, there's a torch over her head. In her left hand, a tabula ansata that has inscribed on it July and in Roman numerals, the 4th, 1776. But if you've looked very closely before at the Statue of Liberty, and if you're there, unless you're up in the crown somehow, you can't see this, except in pictures, at the feet of the Statue of Liberty, and the designer, the artist, decided to depict this not overtly, but are shackles and chains that are broken that she is kind of walking over, walking through. And those symbolized the end of slavery, the abolition of slavery in 1865 as part of that statue. Now, I kind of wonder, and if you don't stop and think about this stuff, you just kind of don't think about it. But if you're the French, let's just take the French, and they know what's happened. We fought them over here, you know, the British, Declaration of Independence, we get free, we've got our own country. But our country, and if you're setting up a country, is this really one of the things you would set up? We're going to go get people and own them to work our new country. If you're the French, you're thinking, okay, what are they doing over there, right? Any rational person would think to own people cannot make any sense. You can't do that. You can't build a country on owning people. Now, somehow we did it, and we are still paying for that, right? And rightly so in some ways, because it's nuts. It is actually nuts. And I don't know about you, but I have days where I go, yes, I'm an American. I am very proud to be an American. I love the flag. I pray for the president no matter who he is. But there are days I go, okay, so now what happened and how did that happen? And unfortunately, too much of what went down was defended by this book. Men and women, I would say mostly men, who read the book and somehow came up with slavery and it would be okay and rationalize that. Now, before you pounce on all these founding fathers or floundering fathers, think about your own life. You say, well, that's impossible. Then how is it that we read the Bible and come up with how we live? Don't be judging them too harshly until you start with yourself, until I start with myself. Because as nuts as slavery is, there's a bunch of stuff that's nuts in our own lives, and we'll get to some of that in just a minute. The goddess of liberty can never deliver true freedom. You can't make liberty or freedom your God. Only Jesus and his gospel can set you free. So it is a dangerous thing to literally make the pursuit of liberty, of life, liberty, and happiness, pursue those things as though those were the destinations, those were the ideals, those are the things that are going to fix it. Those things, apart from having Christ in your life, are never going to satisfy. A couple of quotes. This is by Giacomo Casanova. If you know anything about Casanova, he's just a scoundrel basically in Venice, and read a little bit about him, and he was a mess. But listen to this quote by him. Man is free, yet we must not suppose that he is at liberty to do everything he pleases, for he becomes a slave the moment he allows his actions to be ruled by passions. And then Harriet Tubman said, I grew up like a neglected weed, ignorant of liberty, having no experience of it. So some people experience liberty, and you would think, well, with liberty would come all kind of good things. But people do terrible things with liberty, at liberty to do certain things. Now go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we're going to go down to verse 28. John 8, 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. So he's preaching. You go back and read the rest of that chapter above that. He's given them himself, and some of them believe. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Okay, so this is very simple. You say, well, I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to be a disciple of Christ. Then you find out what he says and you stick to that. You abide in that. You connect to that. And it's not just a assenting to what he said. It's applying it in your life. It's not gargling. It's swallowing what he says, digesting it. It's a part of your life. So if you abide in my word, you are to my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So a lot of people quote the first part of that, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That part is not true without the previous part. The only way that second part works is if you abide in his word, that's how you know you're his disciple indeed. And when you do that, when you abide in his word, then you will know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So it's all about being free. It's all about liberty. That's the only way you're going to get it. It's only abiding in his word. You say, well, is this his word? This is his word. The scriptures are his word. So you stay in his word. You abide in that word. You marinate, saturate yourself with his word. And as you do that, you indicate that you are his disciple, his follower indeed, and then what is the outcome of that? You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, let me tell you something about that. If the Son doesn't make you free, you will never be free. You cannot be free apart from Jesus. Now, this is going to get twisted pretty quick, and you would think that anybody with a brain would know slavery is not a good thing. But the Bible's full of slaves. The Bible's full of being a slave of sin. You say, well, I don't want to be a slave of sin. That sounds like a terrible thing. Now, this is the good news, bad news. If your life is working, you are going to die a slave. You say, well, I don't want to die a slave. Then it's never going to work. And you say, well, I don't want to be a slave. You're either a slave to sin, or as we'll read in a minute, you're a slave to righteousness. And this is straight out of the Bible. You say, I don't want to be a slave to anything. Then that's probably exactly where you are. You're just trying to sit somewhere in the middle. I'm just trying to camp out somewhere in the middle, because to submit to someone and to be a slave, you have to acknowledge that someone owns you. That means someone paid for you. And you can't, whatever you do for them, you can't get paid for it. You're not an employee. You're a slave. You're owned. You say, well, who would want to be a slave? It depends on who your master is. Now, this is very difficult for people to wrap their heads around, because the way we look at slavery, we think it's a terrible thing. It is a terrible thing unless you've got the right master. And so, you know, I'm not going to be a slave to anybody. Now you've got authority issues. Because when somebody owns you, they control your life. And what have we made our governing goal? Liberty, freedom. We are so set on being free, where I can say what I want to say, do what I want to do. That is not Jesus as Lord. That's I got my ticket to heaven. I want him to be my savior. Then I want to live free. I want to be able to do what I want to do, go where I want to do. And if I need God's help or opinion, I'll ask him. If not, he needs to leave me alone. Because I want to live how I want to live. I want to be free. I want liberty. Go to Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, if we got all this grace, let's use it up. Let's screw up all we can, all we want to. We're free, right? That's not what he says is the point. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized or put into Christ Jesus were baptized or put into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Your life should change. You become a Christian, your life will change. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also should be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. So don't let sin be the king, the master, the controller of your life in your mortal body. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So you say, well, I'm not presenting myself. If you're not presenting your body to him, holy, your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is a reasonable act of service, if you're not presenting your Bible to him, you are presenting it to someone else. And you're saying, here's my body, I'll do whatever you want me to do with it. And then where do we end up? How does that work out for us? Doing things, going places, seeing things, saying things, putting things in our body, on our body, whatever you're doing, you think, because I can do what I want to do. You are not doing what you want to do if you're a slave to sin. You're doing what that master tells you to do. And it's never going to work out. And it doesn't end up in any liberty. Not the way God provides it. Keep reading. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. In other words, going back to this, well, then if we're not under law, but under grace, then we can sin all we want. That's not why it's provided. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Then he says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So he's the master. What does that mean? Again, I'm owned. So what am I going to do every day? Whatever he tells me to do. Now you say, well, it sounds like you're using the Bible to justify slavery. I am slavery to him and righteousness, which leads to holiness. You say, well, I will not submit to that. I will not be a slave to anyone. Then you will never live the Christian life that he intended, because you will never submit to that kind of authority where he literally is Lord, boss, owner, master, everything in your life. And so we want liberty and freedom more than we want Jesus, and we will never have the liberty and freedom that we're really after because it's only found in him. So you can fight me, you can fight the scriptures. You say, I don't like the imagery. I didn't write this stuff. I just work here. And because the world has screwed up and sin has screwed up, even the picture of slavery, it's not a good thing unless you have a master who owns you and it's legit and it's the best thing for you. Verse 21, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? So what fruit came of it as a slave of sin? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everybody quotes that verse, but look at the context. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So this is where your life will start transitioning, and this is some indication that you have submitted to being a slave of God, a slave of righteousness, not of sin, not of the enemy. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. And this is Paul writing to this church at Corinth, which was massively screwed up, had all kind of problems. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful or expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. So what is he trying to say? I can do whatever, you know, whatever I'm at liberty to do. I have the freedom to do a bunch of different things, but it's not necessarily the best. I may think it's okay for me. It may not be okay for someone else. Look what he says. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. So this is where you know you're growing up a little bit. I stop thinking just about me. I start thinking about other people. Well, but I'm at liberty. I don't have a problem with this. I can do what I want to do. No, you can't. Because if he is the master and the goal is righteousness, holiness, living the way he intended, then you stop and say, okay, Lord, I could do this, couldn't I? He goes, yeah, you could do that. But I really can't do this because of other people. Yeah, you're right. I'm glad you arrived at that, because that's where we're going. So it's not just about me anymore. No, it's never been just about you. James 1. And we're not in verse 1, but look at James. He refers to himself as a slave. And let's read a few verses here out of James chapter 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, written to Christians, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Why is the implanted word so much? If you abide in my word, you're my disciple indeed, and then you'll know the truth will make you free. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So a guy sends me a text the other day and he says, hey, you know, I'm trying to get into reading the Bible some more. Where should I start? What should I read? So I gave him some suggestions. But here's what I don't suggest. I don't suggest reading the Bible if you don't intend to do anything with what you're reading. What's the point? I'm yet to meet someone who just reads recipes for fun. What are you doing? Oh, I'm reading a recipe book. Are we cooking anything? Oh, I hate to cook. I just love recipes. What? Who reads a recipe book for fun? This is a recipe book built for cooking. So when you find a recipe, cook it. When he shows you something, do it. So what is he saying here? Be doers of the word, he says, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So it's not bad to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you have to do something. You have to apply it, or it will never change your life. Let me just say this really quickly. And I really still, and this is way before current events, I just can't get my head around people owning people. And here's the only thing I can come up with. And I don't mean to sound judgmental of people in the past. A slave should not be able to own a slave spiritually. If we had had more slaves of righteousness, we would have had less slaves in this country. Because men and women that were slaves of righteousness would have come up with, you cannot own a person. It is not possible. So you say, well, what's at stake if I'm not a slave of righteousness? That's the kind of stuff that's at stake, because you miss things. You were maybe a hearer of the word. And I'm telling you, this country has been less than ever now. Churches everywhere, beautiful architecture. We'll give money to build the church, but we won't give our lives to be the church. And so we got these beautiful buildings. There are less and less and less people in them, because forever we have gone and sat in beautiful buildings and heard but done nothing. And until you apply what you hear, a nation doesn't change, because a nation is made up of people. And until individual peoples change, nothing changes. So you want change in America? You change. Well, I'm angry. Is that what the master said to be? Well, I'm going to burn something down. I'm going to bring about change. Is that what the master told you to do? Because see, if you're not a slave of the master, then you're running around living, saying, tweeting, whatever you're posting. God help us at the judgment day on all this stupid posting. Every idle word. I got a plenty of idle words, but if you're running your thumbs, you better pray to God for mercy. Because we are repeating and retreating and reposting nonsense. And I promise you, the master didn't authorize hardly any of it. You climb in your closet and say, do I have permission? Is this something you want me to put out there? I promise you, you're going to get a lot of no's. Because we're emotional and we want likes. You know what? I don't really care if you like me. I like being liked. I want him to like me. I want to please him. What are we after? Well done, good and faithful servant. So then, do not be hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, so you're looking in the mirror and you see yourself. But he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So if I said, stare in the mirror for 10 minutes, and then you step away and I said, describe yourself. You go, what do you mean? Well, what do you look like? We can do it while we're looking in the mirror, but a lot of times, according to this, you get away, you can't do it. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, which is a very interesting juxtaposition here, law and liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So what is the scripture talking about? The perfect law of liberty.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
So the statute of liberty turns out to be a perfect law of liberty, and it only comes through Jesus. So here's the tricky thing about this. Is there is actually a statute of limitation on the offer. And the offer of eternal life and abundant life expires when you do. So you say, well, I'm going to think about this. I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to consider this. I'm going to process this. You're burning daylight, and you never know when it's going to end. You say, oh, you're trying to scare us. You know what? You would think you wouldn't need to be scared. Look around. There's death everywhere. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be sick. Your number can get pulled. You want freedom, you want liberty, you're going to have to be a slave and make him the master, or it'll never happen, because you are bought with a price if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian yet, I know how to sign you up. And it's very simple. You just have to be willing to say, I'm a sinner, I need your forgiveness, and I can make no payment for what I need. I can only accept it as a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you say, okay, I accept this gift. I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. I believe you died on the cross. You were buried and raised from the dead to give me eternal life and abundant life, real freedom, real liberty, the way he intended, but with him as the owner, with him as the boss, with him as the master. As hard as it is to get that around your head, but I promise you this, when he runs your life, your life runs the way it was intended to run, and not until. Now you say, well, it can't be that easy. And I say to people, easy for who? Easy for us, because we confess our sin, that we're sinners, and accept his gift. Not so easy for the Father. It cost him his own son to make all this possible. The most priceless gift ever bought and paid for. Eternal life, abundant life, true liberty, true freedom.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.